chapter 10. And I was coming along with this, and I thought, and I believe the Lord laid something on my heart to talk about today, and just let it go at that. And Mark chapter 10, notice in verse 46. And when they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Arise, he calleth for thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, I believe every miracle that the Lord performed has a spiritual application to it. And I want to use that about this man. And, of course, I believe that the doctrinal application of this would be the nation Israel has been blinded, and someday they're going to recognize Jesus Christ is the Son of David, and they're going to have cry out, and God's going to have mercy upon them. And their eyes will be opened. Paul says in Romans chapter 11 that blindness in part has happened to Israel under the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, but I'm not going to deal with that. I want to deal with us today. I believe the world is blind. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice how the Apostle Paul talks about it in verse 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. I should have told you to hang on to Mark because I'm going to go back there in a moment. But you'll find in what he's talking about in verse 3, he says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." In other words, they can't see it. It's not hid to them the fact that they don't know what the gospel might be. You might be sitting here and somebody could come up to you and you've heard preachers and you've heard teachers and you've heard different people say that the gospel, the good news, is the death, burial, and resurrection. And you might believe that and you come up and somebody says, "Do you know what the gospel is?" And you say, "Sure, it's the death, burial, resurrection. Jesus Christ died for my sins." And you parrot what you've heard somebody else say and give the right answer. And yet the gospel could be hid from you and you know it. So what is he saying when he said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost"? Well, it's obvious that has not believed in that gospel, or they wouldn't be lost. It's not a fact of knowing the historical facts of the gospel that brings salvation. It's a fact that when you see that Christ did die for you on that cross, and you trust that, you being the sinner that you are, and you trust that as your salvation, then your eyes become, it's like a light comes on. I see that. I'm saved. I'm saved because of what He did and not because of what I do. Religion wants you to add something to it. Religion would have you to clean up your walk and live a good life and have good deeds and hope someday your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds and that God somehow is going to let everybody in and it's just a matter of whether or not you get a higher degree than somebody else. And all of that stuff is religion and it's right out of the pits of hell. And it's to blind men and hide the fact that the gospel is what brings salvation to you. Now look what he says in verse 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world, and this world has a God. He's called Satan. He's Lucifer. He's that great dragon that deceiveth the whole world. Now a God wants to be worshipped. And his desire and his pride is what got him into trouble to start with. It's the fact that he wanted to be like the Most High God. And he said in his heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will be like the Most High. He desires worship and men and women all over the world today are bowing down and worshiping the God of this world and they don't even know it. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that's the key. They won't believe the simple fact that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross. And when they reject that simple truth, they'll take up with anything. Human reason begins to set in and they begin to figure this thing out and I've got to analyze this and on the thing goes and well, I believe it's more to it than that and I believe you've got to live this away and you've got to believe in Jesus and keep the commandments and on and on. And you know what God calls somebody like that? Hang on to 2 Corinthians. Now, you're going to have Mark, you're going to have 2 Corinthians, but just look over there in Philippians. Notice in Philippians chapter let's see. Chapter 3. And he's talking about in verse 9, and being found in Him, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. In other words, Paul said, it ain't my righteousness. His righteousness. Come to verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which are walk, so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not for the cross of Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Anything that adds to the cross of Christ is the enemy of the cross of Christ. Anything that makes the cross of Christ of none effect, anything that takes away the offense of the cross of Christ is offensive to people. The cross was made for criminals. We wear trinkets around our neck as crosses. I was talking to a guy not long ago and he had a cross around his neck with a dead Jew hanging on it. And he You know, if he wanted to be modern about the thing, he'd hang an electric chair around him and a man flying in it. You say, you've got to be kidding me. Listen, the cross was made for criminals. Don't you understand when Jesus Christ died, he died a criminal's death? He was given capital punishment for crimes. They had a trial. They had false witnesses that came up. They spit upon him. They tore his clothes off and they hung him out. I mean, they laid him out there in a hall and they stripped every stitch of clothes on, and he's there naked, and the soldiers is around him, and they're making fun of him, and they're poking fun at him, and humiliating him, and they're beating him, and spitting on him, and they're shaming him, and he's doing that for you that's sitting in this building. And if he doesn't do that, then there's no hope for anybody in this room. And if God turned his son over those men and they did that to his son in your behalf, and if God would have raised one finger to stop it, and if God would have stopped what was going on in AD 33, you'd be in hell right now. And people want to don't even realize it. Anything that's offensive to people. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Jesus Christ had no sin to have any wages to pay. He was born of a virgin. The Holy Ghost come upon Mary and she conceived. And God Almighty, I mean, she brought forth a son. And that son grew up. And that's the Son of Almighty God. And there was no old nature about him. He never had Joseph's nature. Joseph wasn't his father. God the Father was his father. He lived a perfect life according to the law. He never did have to present a sacrifice for his sins. He never had no sin. He was God in the flesh. And he come down there and took our robe of flesh and he humbled himself and became obedient even the death under death. Why? The death of the cross. Crosses was for criminals, and they tried him, and he went on trial for you, and they put him to death for you. They hung him on that tree for you. He died for you and your crimes against God. And people's got the audacity to say, more to it than that. To it than what? How can you add to what Jesus Christ did for you? You can't. And on that cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then at the last he said, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God literally turned his back on his only son. And he done that because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's the only way you're going to ever get to heaven. That's what's going to get you out on the other side over there. You reject that simple message and God will reject you someday. Now, I don't care how many times you've been baptized how much sacraments and the wafers and the liquor and the wine or whatever, and you booze it up on Sunday at the massacres, and you believe in the wafer turning to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can bow down before some image, and you can let somebody stick something on your tongue, and you can drink out of the same cup, and on, and end up in hell. The believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I get stirred up over religion, because that's how the devil blinds people's minds. This world's blinded because they won't believe. Back in verse 4. And they become enemies of the cross of Christ. But look in verse 4 back in 2 Corinthians. Whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How does He blind their minds? Through religion, through church membership, through joining organizations, through their good works. Blinds people's minds to the truth. Well, you know all religions, they just lead all different paths, going to the same place. No, they're not. We're all traveling different roads, but we're ultimately going to end up there. No, we won't. The Bible says that no man can come unto the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. All that the Father give me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. The only way, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father except by me. When did you ever come to him as a sinner? You that are here, I'm talking to you right here. Get your mind on me up here. This is serious business. There's some of you playing Russian roulette with your soul. You're gambling, you're going to have another chance. Some of you have been in here and you've heard the good news and you've heard that Christ died for your sins. You know that you're lost. You know you've never been saved. You don't even know what being saved is. Being saved is having eternal life. Being saved is saved from the wrath that's coming on this world. But they're like the days of Noah. Noah stood out there and built a boat. That thing's like a coffin out there. 3 stories high. About as long as a football field. And it's red. And the Bible says he's condemning the world. Noah wasn't out there standing on that ark preaching and saying, hey, come and get in the ark. No, no, no. The Bible says that he built that ark for the saving of his house. So why they had to build it so big? Because God wanted some animals in there with him. Noah didn't get out there and would get a stick and a sheep dog and everything and go out there and round up them animals and poke them and all that stuff. What did he do? He sat back and God Almighty brought them in. And God brought what he wanted in that ark. Well, he wouldn't hold all the animals. He didn't take all the animals. He didn't take the breeds. He took the species. And that thing sitting out there, Noah said, Noah, what are you building that ark? Well, there's rain coming. Well, rain? What's that? It hadn't rained when he was building the ark. There was no clouds. The Bible said the ground was watered by a mist that came up. Different atmosphere back then. Lord said, Noah, time. Noah looked on high and here they come. Come them animals. They listened to the Creator. They got into the ark. Rains are coming. So what if we was back there and we wanted to be saved? What would we do? Noah, what can we do? You said we can't get in the ark. Nope, can't get in this ark. Just room for the animals and my family. What do we do? Here's what you do. Here's the blueprints. Go build you one. Can't build one that big. Don't have to be that big. You're not going to take no animals. Just build one for your family. And I heard people say, well, you think that thing wasn't built to sail. The thing was built to float. And that thing looked like a big old coffin out there. And God shut them in and the wrath come. I want to tell you something. There's some wrath that's coming on this world that man can't stop. And it's in this book. The Bible says that we're saved from the wrath to come, but only in Christ Jesus. And I've been harping it. Preachers have been harping. There's a day of the Lord that's coming. Jesus Christ has been been almost, it's been 2,000 years. And I don't know how many years our calendar is off. But I know from the time of Adam to Christ, there's 4,000 years. And from Christ till the seventh day is 2,000 years. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you something about the Hebrews talks about the day of rest. The day of rest is the millennial reign of Christ on this world, and it's called the seventh day. And as a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, folks, there's a time of God shaking this world. I mean literally shaking it. And he said he's going to shake it. And the wrath of God's going to fall. And Jeremiah pictured it and said there was no cities. You can't even imagine what the tribulation's going to be like. And you don't want to be here for that. And when the church is gone, when the last one is saved and the body of Christ is complete and we're out of here, there is no restraining force that's holding it back anymore. I beseech you with everything in my body, my mind, my soul, if you're not saved, don't leave here without being saved by the grace of God. How can I be saved by the grace of God? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This man, quickly, Satan wants to blind, and he does it through religion. He does it through by perverting the gospel of Christ. Paul said, if any man come preach any other gospel unto you than that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what accursed is? That's damned. Paul wasn't, he just said, let him be. And he told the Corinthian church over there in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I fear lest as Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety, and he's real slick about the things that he does. He said, if there come anyone preaching another Jesus or another gospel or offering you another spirit, you might bear with it. Don't give in to it. Resist it. There are thousands out there preaching other gospels, offering other Jesuses, prosperity gospel. They don't want to be told that they're sinners, and you are a sinner. You're born in sin. You're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by choice. And ain't nothing you can do about that. You're a sinner. So God offered a sacrifice for you. And that sacrifice was His Son. So believe that. Trust that. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. But You said You died for me, and I believe that, and I'm trusting that. And I'm going to trust in You. And be saved from the wrath that's coming. Three things about this old blind man back in Mark. His need was more important to him than public opinion. Look at verse 48. That old man sitting out there and he hears Jesus come by and he begins to holler. Verse 48 said, many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. His need was more important to him than public opinion. This man's blind. He knows the man that could come by, he's heard he can do something about it. And he didn't care what people thought. You know why a lot of people won't believe the truth? Do you know why a lot of people won't be saved? They're afraid of public opinion. They're afraid of being talked about. Well, you look at this thing over here. Notice, John, and look in John chapter 12. There's people that's saved, but they won't stand for the truth of this book rightly divided. Look in John chapter 12. Notice in verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. That's why they won't confess. That's why they won't let nobody know that they what they really believe. They're afraid of being third out of the denomination, third out of the church or whatever. They're more concerned about public opinion than they are their own soul. Verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If you're not saved today, there's a reason you're not saved. You don't deem your situation as important as you deem other stuff in your life. Salvation is not important to you. Well, religion is, I don't want to hear about that. Religion, the religion, religion. Everybody's got their own religion. Only one Lord. Only one gospel. Only one faith. You better make sure you get the right one. Like I told an atheist one time. I said, okay, you right? I ain't back. If you're wrong, I still ain't got another thing to worry about. Can you say that? Well, of course he couldn't. I said, if I'm right, then you're in a world of trouble. Once it's over, it's over. This man's need was more important. He had no pride. What keeps people from being saved? Pride? Public opinion? What keeps saved people from coming out of with the truth? Pride? Public opinion? You know, there's probably, they call them grace closet believers. I don't believe in such things. But there's people that believe the truth rightly divided, but they won't come out and openly stand for it because of public opinion. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I know some preachers like that. Secondly, his need was more important than any other thing. The Lord asked him, look what he said in verse 51. Jesus answered, said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What would you Tell the Lord that. If the Lord Jesus Christ came to you right now and said, what would you have me to do for you? This man didn't say, Lord, that I might have $1 million. He didn't say, Lord, I want a new car. Lord, let me have a new house. He told him the most important thing to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. You know, when you get under conviction, when you realize I'm lost and God hangs you over hell a little bit and you see your lost, damnable condition, the sinner that you are, the filthiness that you are, the no-countness that you are, and you realize you can't do nothing about it, and you say, Lord, I'm lost, and I'm going to go to hell. If you don't save me, I'm going to hell. You know what? Your salvation is the most important thing to you right then. And that's when you'll get saved. But right now, take it or leave it. This man wanted more than any other thing. When you want salvation more than you want life itself, God will save you. When you want salvation more than any material things, more than anything you can come into your mind, God will save you. When in your life was that the most important thing in your life? I've seen people. I've seen them trembling. I've talked to them and see the tears run down their face and say, I want to be saved. Brother Brian, I want to be saved. I don't want to end up in the lake of fire. You know what I tell him? I said, tell him. And I've seen God save people, but I've never seen God save anybody until that person wants it more than anything else. And whenever they get to the point that they swallow their pride and they want salvation more than their own life or anything else, that's when the Lord will give them eternal life. This man wanted it. People don't get saved because they just don't think it's important. Their jobs, their careers, the money, the lifestyle, they think that's more important than having eternal life. Well, all that stuff can vanish away before the sun sets today. But eternal life will never go. And he didn't wait when the Lord called him. Look in verse 49. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I imagine that man, it said in verse 50, and he casting away his garment arose and came to Jesus. Can you imagine what he felt like? Well, the call's been sent out. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Right now, the Lord stopped. It's as though He stopped. Right now, He's calling. The message is gone forth. You know whether you're saved or not. Do you know whether you have eternal life or not? If you died right now, you know whether you'd go to heaven or hell. I can't imagine. No want to. What people been in church all their life. Thought they was all right. Depending on their good works, their water baptism and their church membership and giving to the United Way and not walking on the grass, not kicking the cat, not chewing gum and all these things that the people say, all, you know, and I can't imagine them drawing their last breath and they've fallen. They know it. And they wake up in torments of hell. Jesus Christ said there was a man, a rich man, clothed in purple and fared sumptuously every day. And he died. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You reckon he was conscious? Can you imagine people that trusting in their goodness and everything and they draw the last breath and they fall? And in flames of hell. And they're down there right now and they're screaming and they're crying and they're in agony. You say, well, I don't want to serve a God to do something like that. You don't have no choice. He's the only one around. You either serve Him, trust Him, get saved, or end up their fate. But could you open it up and hear the moans and the groans and they're praying. I'm thinking about people that's gone, Dad. Oh, God, don't let my children come down here. I was wrong. Oh, God, my grandchildren. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, send somebody by. Let them hear the gospel. May they be saved. I don't want them to come down here. That man said, I got five brothers. Send somebody by that they don't come to this awful place. You know that there's people right now that's in hell that's praying that you don't come there. And people just go right on nonchalant. Could uncap it and hear the groan. When the Lord called, this man came. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in the time of accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. That word succor, it means help. It means give aid to. You find it in Isaiah 49 verse 8. God is helping you. God is giving you aid right now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because you might not have another day. Think about them, that family. Boy, yesterday, day before, coming down 77. Two adults, mother, father, whatever, two children. Said they believed the man fell asleep at the wheel, crossed the median, hit two head on, and four souls went out to meet the Lord like that. Do you think they got up that morning and thought about they was going to die within a few hours? No. But gone. Life is uncertain. Death is. Salvation is too, if you'll trust in Jesus Christ. Let's stand. While I pray, will you, if you're not saved, will you call upon him and ask him to save you? Don't let this day go without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, Lord, we try to make it as plain as we could. We didn't hold back no punches. We try to get it across. Now, Father, I pray that if there's one here that's lost today, help them to see the importance of it. Lord, I pray that they'll see that their lost condition, like the blind man did. He knew his need. And Lord, I pray that right now in their heart, they'll call upon you and trust you, believe that you died for them. Lord, help them to want salvation, to be saved more than anything. Oh, God, I pray for them. Lord, we feel like there's somebody here that needs to be saved. And we can't save them. We don't have the power to do that. But Lord, you trouble them. You bring them down where they will want you. Do them like you did me, Lord. Make them miserable. Till they turn to thee. And everything that's accomplished, we'll give you the praise for it, for we realize that we don't have any ability to do anything. We don't have the knowledge and the wisdom. We don't have the power. So Lord, we just rely upon you and trust that you'll do the work. Holy Spirit, deal with people. May they be saved right now for Christ's sake. Amen. Shake hands with one another.